Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle. And as always, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our damn heads, one page at a time, in convenient and easy to listen to podcast form. Glenn, what's cracking, baby? I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. I had some health issues I was dealing with. You know, you were touring the world recording comedy stuff.
I was all over the place. I was just in beautiful Pittsburgh.
Yeah?
It is. I really like Pittsburgh.
I do too. And like, as an Eastern Pennsylvania resident, like, I'm supposed to shit all over Pittsburgh. Like, it's this weird rivalry thing. But like, when I went there as an adult, finally, I'm like, okay, I hate
as
all
a guy
your...
who lives in New Jersey, it's all kind of the same.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I hate all your sports teams and their fans. But like, I don't know. That's just, I think that's true everywhere. It's a nice little town.
It's one of the few places that I've been that feels like a different place. Like, I go to a lot, right. I've been going to New England a lot for shows recently, and any town I've been to in New England, I was like, well, yeah, this just feels like
New England, yeah, for sure.
A regular town anywhere else in the country that I've been. But, like, I don't know, the layout of Pittsburgh is nice. Stuff looks a little different for some reason. Great job, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing pretty good out there.
I'll go back some point, probably not for the comedy festival.
Just take this love and this shout out from the shadow of one failed steel industry to the shadow of another steel industry.
Right. I feel like you guys should get along better.
We should. I mean, I think it's
probably... Remember when we had jobs and industry and instead of just infighting among small comedy scenes?
Oh, boy. I mean, that's not independent of
Yeah, no, I feel like that's anywhere with a
yeah, I think that's just comedy in general, right? Like,
enough.
That's... comedy on the internet or comedy in any local scene, right?
Yeah, probably.
Probs. Well, if I look at my post-it note, I have no idea if it's accurate or not.
Who
but
cares?
What it says is we're losing, Glenn.
Yeah, I remember we ended on a loss last time on, I don't remember what, Golden Rectangle.
Oh, man. So close. Oh,
As I was editing that and putting it up, I was like, we were right there.
Yeah,
we mentioned the golden ratio a couple of times.
Yeah, we got to the wedding for the marriage ceremony and she just ran off on
us.
Ooh,
we're so close.
Yeah.
Ooh, so close. That.
I mean, the score, if we believe the post-it note, which I do.
I mean, I believe it. I just
we've won
care.
21. Wikipedia is one in front of us at 22 and we've tied
nasty
11
Wikipedia.
Times. Yeah. So let's just dive in. It's a Saturday morning. We usually record these at night, so it's a different vibe.
Yeah, it's
the
early.
The sun is up. It's weird.
It's bright. I have a headache, which is I do most of the time.
Yeah. You're rocking rose-colored glasses in an attempt to help with headaches. How's
that
working?
They came in the mail yesterday.
Oh, it's too soon. Too soon.
So I already had a headache when they arrived in the mail. Mm-hmm. So I put them on. They did not make the headache go away. Mm. This is also like a real... two separate people suggested that wearing tinted glasses would help with headaches, and I've been getting them so frequently that I was like, sure.
Right.
Like,
now, with the specific color tint, have you noticed that it changed your mood at all? Are you like, this pinkish hue that's
when
everywhere
I picked,
is bullshit?
I could pick the color of the tint when I ordered the glasses.
Okay.
And that's why I picked the pink one, because somebody told me that it makes you happy.
Are you capable of that emotion?
I mean, I
struggle with it.
I'm
personally.
Just pretty... I run like a even keel most of the time.
Sure.
I don't feel unhappy.
That's good. That's great.
I feel like they look worse than they did in the digital try-on thing when I ordered them.
Well, I mean, I feel that way about most things that have a digital try-on thing, right?
Yeah. I think they make me look like my grandma.
Never saw her.
She looks like if I shaved my beard and I had those things that grandmas wear
so that
they can hang their glasses around their neck.
Yeah.
And then was maybe on my way to play bingo.
Mm. You are a renowned bingo caller.
Yeah.
Well, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got about 10 suggestions from our duty cyclers. As always, we go to the social media. We go to the Improvised Wikipedia Facebook page. We say, yo. Give us some tops. Give us some hot, suggy jests for us to tackle. So I'm going to need from you a number between 1 and 10.
Hit me with like a 4.
Hit you with a 4. Interesting. Okay. All right. Friend of the show, Mindy Aratop, local improviser here in the Lehigh Valley, very funny, wants us to chat about igloos.
Oh, igloos?
Yeah, yo, those little ice dome houses.
So, I had this book when I was a kid. I still have it. I've since given it to my daughter, called The Student Handbook. I got it from the Scholastic Order Forum. Mm. I don't know why I was so hyped to get this book, but in the description, it promised to, like, explain how to do pretty much everything.
Right. So it was the precursor to John Hodgman's books?
Sort of. Fewer made-up hobo names.
Yeah. Shout out to John Hodgman. He will be a guest on this podcast one day.
Potentially.
No, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to secret it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe in you. I don't believe in the secret.
Oh, neither do I.
I believe in you and Hodgman.
Yeah. I believe in the It's Always Sunny episode where they secret stuff.
So it has, like, there's, like, a sports category where it explains, like, the rules of cricket.
Right.
And, like, a bunch of different sports. Didn't spend a lot of time in that section of the book.
Clearly.
It did have a bunch of science stuff. Where, like, this one's for me in here. I don't need to learn badminton. I need to know the pH scale, for example.
There's a scale?
Yeah.
Cool.
You didn't know about the pH scale?
No,
baby?
But we don't have time to talk about it. We have a ticking clock.
There is a section on igloos and how to build them.
Interesting. Well, I mean, you seem like you're an expert because anybody that gets all of their knowledge off of a book they ordered off the Scholastic Book Fair order form in the early 90s.
A weirdly tall, skinny book.
Huh.
Like it's
like almost like a map, like when it's folded up?
A little bit that shape. Like longer.
Not great for reading.
No, longer than the golden rectangle for sure.
Oh, because like when you open that up.
Books are golden rectangles?
Yes. Did you not listen to what I was saying during the episode?
No.
I pitched that very idea, you son of a bitch. Do you not listen to me when
I
fucking hate you, Glenn. God damn it. You even talked about how you hope it's not that bullshit because of your wife, who is a lovely librarian. You son
she
of a
is.
Bitch. I want to punch you with a book right now.
It's too skinny, but I have it still.
You're not even addressing me now.
I am not. You're correct.
Ah!
That's the Excedrin talking, baby.
So, no, I don't. I don't.
So,
to answer your question, no, I don't.
Couple ways to do it.
Oh, you're just going to go back to igloos? You're just
diving
okay,
right in.
All right.
Diving right in.
I don't
in.
Know why I try to keep this on the rails.
Here's what you got to do. Don't build it right on the ground. Rookie mistake. You need a platform inside the igloo. Do you understand? You're giving me just a dead-eyed stare.
Well, no, I'm just letting you. I'm letting you teach. I'm listening. I'm trying. You might not be familiar with the concept of listening, but I'm giving you active and direct eye contact. I'm listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth.
All of it is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I'm here for you to teach me, oh, mighty, mighty Mr.
This.
Tickle.
I hate this. We should explain what they are first. So igloos are small structures made out of ice and snow.
Yes, they are dome-shaped.
Yes.
What else do you want to know?
We've hit the big notes.
Yeah.
Cartoon penguins love these things.
Oh, for sure.
There's like a brick construction. Like if you think of a cartoon igloo, like.
Nobody can see your hands right now, bud.
I'm miming putting a bunch of ice blocks in a dome. So you can, depending on the types of snow, like you can cut a block of snow out of like deep snow that's been there.
Right.
For
if you
a while.
If you talk about like the poles of the planet, right? You talk about the Arctic, the North Pole, that frigid tundra. It's going to get cold enough. The ice is going to get dense enough. The snow is going to be thick enough. It's that thick, thick snow, daddy.
Yeah.
Where you can actually carve out bricks.
Yes. So. When we see like a cartoon igloo, that is what they are depicting, basically.
Right.
Now, if here in the Northeast United States, we get snow, not so much this year, but like we used to. And we would typically get a few inches at a time. Sometimes it would stick around. Sometimes it would build up. Sometimes we get like a big blizzard and get a foot or two at once.
Yeah, this is probably very, very eye-opening to our listeners who are unfamiliar with the snow.
To build an igloo with that, what you do is you just make a big pile and you dig that pile out.
Yeah.
Like,
I wouldn't even call that an igloo, though. I would call that a snow cave, and I would also call it a very fast way for children to die. Not structurally sound. We don't get cold enough for that to hold together. You know?
Sounds like a guy who sucks at making igloos. That's what that sounds like to me.
I mean, I've never tried. I can honestly say I've never. You've made igloos?
I've made a bunch of snow caves.
Oh, snow caves. Okay.
I
great.
Mean, if you're calling it a snow cave.
To me, I don't know that you can call it an igloo unless it is those bricks of snow and ice. Like, I think that is line in the ground. That is
okay.
The defining quality of this
structure.
I'll go
with that.
Yeah.
There's typically like that long, skinny entrance,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're building a shelter from the cold out of something cold.
Mm-hmm.
But it can get fairly warm on the inside of an igloo because snow works as an insulator.
Correct. And also,
so unless
you
have just like a big open door, then yeah, you're going to get cold.
Right. And so you look at the climates where this is a necessity, right? We'll just stick with the Arctic Circle, right? Like, there's not trees growing. There's not material to build shelter out of for the most part.
Yeah.
At least
you're not
going to
jump over to the forest and chop down a bunch of trees.
There's there ain't no forest there. Right?
Yeah. You gotta build something.
Pretty soon there's not going to be any ice there. Another episode. But also the advantage of these things and why it helps you stay warm in those harsh climates is it is a wind blocker, right? Like when you've got nothing, like it's just flat. It's very difficult to block that Arctic wind. So when you have an igloo, you get a little bit of
a
reprieve.
And that's why. So in the drawing in the book I've described,
mm-hmm.
the skinny part that sticks out is the entrance where you go in.
Yep.
You then kind of go up a little bit onto like a platform, and then
sure.
that helps. Because there's not like a door on it,
right?
For the reasons we talked about. So if you just have a big hole in the side of your ice dome, yeah, it's not going to keep a ton of heat in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do,
yeah, it's why has a double door system, because you open the one door and you come in and you're not. That's why any store has a double door entryway like that to keep the wind out.
Can we devote some time to the culture around holding the door open for people at Wawa and how I don't enjoy it?
So, yeah, I think this is a good point, because I've actually heard it told and explained to me. And this is not from, I don't even remember who told this to me. It makes sense, but I've not heard this officially. It's very easy to have automatic doors in the year of our Lord 2020, right? But they choose not to. They actively choose not to at Wawa's. They have the double doors because they want the interaction of you going into a Wawa. They want the thank you.
I hate that.
They want the thank you. Yeah, it's unnecessary. I get it, but like, no,
yeah.
I don't like it either.
The double door as a structure, great, right?
Yeah.
Because it saves energy. A revolving door would save more energy.
Oh, I hate revolving doors.
You're wrong. They're great.
No, they're terrible, and I feel like I'm going to lose a limb every time I go into one.
You just got to believe and
I don't.
To the walk.
I have self-confidence issues.
But stopping to hold the door open for somebody is making it take longer to get in and out of the Wawa.
So, I just open up my heart, and I tell you I have self-confidence issues, and you don't even address it. You just stay right on the door. You have a hard time.
What do you want me to say?
I want
I
you
to
connect
you to
with me as
yourself.
A human being,
I
you,
already told you
rose-covered glasses, buckaroo bonsai motherfucker. I'm trying to connect with you.
I already told you to believe in yourself. It's my advice for everybody for all things. Because I don't really listen to their problems, so I just have the one thing to say.
So in other words, you're like, hey, you need to learn to believe in yourself because I'm not going to believe in you.
Yeah,
I cannot be bothered by you, so you believe in yourself.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
You know that's not noble, right? Like, you're pitching it as like, no,
good,
it's what
though.
I tell people. I want people to do well. Like, no, you want them to leave you alone is what you
want. Oh, I sure do. That's the other reason I don't want people holding the door for me. One, I can do it, right? I'm a big boy. If somebody's like carrying a bunch of stuff and you're like, oh, let me hold the door because they need mm-hmm. help.
Yeah.
But just to do it, so I say thank you, get out of here with your performative nonsense Wawa door holders. Just let that thing close in my face. I'll get it. Because I don't want to, I gotta shuffle up because I got you're holding it for me. I got to scoot.
Are you looking for me to validate you?
No.
Okay. Like, because you're still going. And I'm like, yeah, no, you've made your point.
Man.
I kind of agree with you. I don't care for it. I think it's unnecessary. Like, what do you want here, bud? I mean, are you saying that all Wawa should be igloos because it's a superior entryway?
No, I'm saying they should all have revolving doors. For sure. Because I want to see how many limbs you end up with.
I mean, I would be Monty Python, Black Knight.
You'd just be Black Knight.
Hopping around as a torso.
Just begging for one of them pretzels.
Oh, yeah. I don't really go for the hot pretzel. I'm not a hot pretzel guy.
Well, it's the ones by the register.
Yeah.
They're not hot.
Well, at one point they were. They remind me of super pretzels.
I guess they were baked, so at some point.
I'm not a soft pretzel guy.
Soft pretzel, I think, is the word you're looking for, and they're great. That's the best thing about Wawa. Worst thing? That door bullshit I was complaining about.
Agree with the worst thing. I also don't like now they've remodeled a lot of them, and I don't know where to stand when I'm waiting for my food. Like, that's frustrating.
That weird checkout island in the middle?
Yeah. Well, the island has always been there. I just mean how they moved the kitchen where they did, and they, like, there's just, it's just uncomfortable.
I don't know. I don't order a lot of
food. Don't want you hanging out, so I get it, but I get it.
They could go for some better vegetarian options.
Yeah, they have salads now.
Great.
They have make your own salads. And, like, I understand that feels like I'm patronizing you. And
eat lettuce, you
to.
Stupid
yeah,
idiot.
Yeah, and that's not what I mean. I just mean, like, it always bothered me that they didn't have it. Because I was like, just get some fucking bowls, yo. You've got everything that you need. Why do you not have this? And so they do now.
Sometimes you can get a veggie sub. I don't know.
I've seen it pretty consistently.
I don't know why not all the time.
I've seen it pretty consistently.
It's a real coin flip.
Huh.
Anytime I try to order one, they're like, no, we don't have any vegetables. Get the fuck out.
Maybe they just know how critical you are of them as an institution, and they just don't want your business.
Maybe.
Maybe they reached out to you and tried to connect you on a human level, and they're like, who's this bitch?
Why would he make eye contact with me?
Yeah.
And let me talk about my feelings as a gas station.
I get it. Like, hey, we're just trying to be friends with you, comedian Glenn Tickle. And you're like, believe in yourself, Wawa!
Yeah.
They're like, that doesn't even make sense in context.
But igloos, though.
Yeah, nice segue. Bringing it back, focusing on
I don't
efforts.
Think we can pin down who invented igloos. Too old.
No, because there'd be some white fucking nonsense involved in, like...
Yeah, Doug, you didn't invent igloos.
Yeah, right? Like...
You idiot.
Like, you're talking, like, the 1800s.
Yeah,
like,
get the
exploring.
Fuck out of here, Shackelford. Yeah. You didn't invent shit. You died, I think.
Probably.
So,
yeah, you're right. We're not going to be able to pin it on a single person. But certainly, you know, cultures that are indigenous to Arctic tundras.
Sure.
Yeah, we can say that. You know, that shit might have existed in the northern realms of Greenland. You're looking at those northern Canadian provinces.
It does seem like if you are living in a place with a buttload of snow and not a whole lot else.
Right. Because, like, honestly, if you got trees over there, you're not building an igloo. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, let's cut those down. Let's make a fucking shelter. It's going to be better than this snow nonsense we can do. So I think it really is the lack of other resources that drives you to discovering how to do
this. You get creative with that snow.
Yeah.
Choppy chop some blocks. Put them together. Do you think, so I know they're real, like, you can really build an igloo.
Yeah.
But if we go to the Arctic Circle today, in February 2020.
Yeah.
We seen a lot of these?
How are you defining a lot? Like, we'll probably see some.
I mean, active use?
Sure. Yeah. But nowhere maybe near what we would have seen, you know.
I'm not saying it's going to look like
revolution,
a... Yeah, not like suburban homes just scattering the hillside.
Right.
But like a couple... How big? What's the biggest one, you think? Because I'm still picturing like the ones you build as a kid that you and maybe a friend could get in.
So in recent episodes, we've talked about my love for a book I just finished, The Terror, the Dan Simmons novel, right? And so a big portion, all of that takes place in the Arctic, and a big portion of it.
How many igloos they built in?
There were quite a, igloos played quite an important role in parts of it, right? So it's historical fiction, so I don't know how accurate it is, but when they did find, you know, some indigenous settlements, one of the things that they did talk about is how they would have... they would basically connect multiple domes into one structure. So it wasn't a big ass dome, but it'd be like four pods that were all kind of connected.
Like the Pillow and Blanket Fort and Community.
Exactly like New Fluffy Town.
to bring this back to the only comparison where you and
the
I are
the only time you
making.
Actually pay attention to what I say. The totally legit Republic of Blanketsburg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that might be in the book, the connected ones with like a shared tunnel in the middle.
Yeah. So I think it has more to do with like, it's a height issue, right? Like, it's not like you're going to climb up on, like, they probably have an optimal size that everyone's like, okay, we can make it this size. So it's a lot easier and more efficient for us to make four of them and connect them than to try to go bigger.
Right. Cause it's a dome, very strong structure, but you don't have like scaffolding.
Right. Yeah.
So how high is probably,
and you don't have like, white man arrogance going, let's see how big we can do this. They're like, hey, let's make this real nice so we can survive and not die in this bullshit.
Right.
You know, and so, like, that's probably pushed them towards that direction.
Because as you start laying bricks in a circle and you move them in a little bit as you build up, like, you can do that and it'll hold up.
Right.
But when you complete it, it all helps hold itself up.
Yeah.
So, like, a half-built igloo is not very stable, a finished one. Pretty stable.
Yep.
So it's probably, I'm 6 feet tall. I could probably build one that I could stand up in the middle.
Yeah, I'm thinking like probably like somewhere in that like 6 to 8 feet tall range.
I don't think I could
probably
do like a 15 foot.
No. Well, I mean like at that
one
point.
One story, obviously.
Yeah. Like, I mean at that point, like you've got to be.
There's not stairs.
You're probably finishing it from the inside, right? It's not like you're climbing up the outside.
But I also think Snow Cave is easier than building one of these bad boys.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the longevity, though.
Not with that attitude.
No, it really it doesn't. You just spent time talking about how the structure itself is very, very sound.
Well, yeah,
but
when you dig it out, if it's consistently cold, when you dig it out, it's just going to hold that shape. Like, the shape is what ends up being important.
But there would be, we're talking about igloos, and igloos are so well known as a structure that is built in those. No one's talking about ice caves. They're not building ice caves up there.
You dig them out.
But they're not doing it. And there's a reason why for thousands of years they're not doing that as their solution.
You were a fucking expert on snow houses. What about ice hotels?
Yeah, that's some bullshit we could talk about. Yeah.
How dumb they are.
Yeah. Do you remember what was the Pierce Brosnan? What was the Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie that featured an ice bar?
They
and everyone,
all
oh, it was fucking
run
stupid.
Together.
They got like a tank of epaulette sharks in there. Pierce Brosnan's like, "Hey, I'm British."
Yeah,
and that's James Bond in a nutshell. There's a car, and then there's some fucking, and someone gets shot.
Yeah.
James Bond.
Oh, that one, the one. With
Tomorrow dies twice with diamonds.
Yep.
Never got into James Bond.
I did for a little bit, but then when I tried to like watch them all in order, I was like, "Oh, a lot of these are boring."
Most of them.
I have a hard
are.
Time following the plot of any of these.
Mm-hmm.
Playing GoldenEye on the 64 is what made me be like, "Oh yeah, James Bond's cool as hell."
No,
like,
it's not. GoldenEye's cool.
Let's
as
all
hell.
Yeah, playing that game with your friends at a sleepover. That's what's cool.
Mm-hmm.
James Bond. Ugh.
Yeah.
I like that part of the Daniel Craig one where they're running around and jumping through stuff real fast.
That's most of it, right?
I think it was his first one.
And
like
then,
he
plays poker for a little bit.
10 minutes and the guy cries blood.
Hmm.
James Bond.
Anything else for igloos? I mean, like, we're sort of at that halfway mark. I don't know. I feel like we nailed it.
I think we have a pretty solid understanding of what they are.
Yeah.
We're not grasping at straws like golden rectangles.
I mean, like, I feel like opening paragraph, we're probably shot by shot.
Yeah.
Any famous igloos in pop culture you want to reference?
Throw
us over the top.
Chili Willy.
Chili Willy had an igloo. You know what I loved with Chili Willy is when they carved the rotary phone out of the ice.
Yeah.
That was a great bit.
The Snoopy snow cone machine.
Oh, yeah.
Had, I believe, an igloo on it.
Yeah.
Igloo coolers.
I feel like Hallmark Christmas ornaments probably probably force some indigenous folks into celebrating Christmas that normally would not.
Yeah, I don't think they're big fans of it up there.
No.
Probably like a polar bear
Yeah.
In an igloo. Maybe at like some point. Like even a Coca-Cola though I feel like commercial. They wouldn't really fit.
Right.
Polar bears probably snow cave more than igloo, you'd think.
I would think, yeah.
What with them being bears?
Yeah. It'd be pretty great if they actually invented igloos, though. Like, oh, we saw a bunch of polar bears do this. Be so cool.
Yeah.
Be so cool.
Yeah. A bunch of people just saw bears building and they're like, oh, neat. We can do that. But yeah. It was smaller because bears are big.
Yeah. All right, well, let's step aside, take a break, pay some bills with an ad read. Come back. We will have the official Wikipedia page for Igloo.
Heck yeah. UPS just sent me an email that says, be aware, be vigilant, be safe.
I mean, it's good advice. But
what do you know, UPS?
Yeah, don't be so coy, UPS. Are you aware of a terror threat?
Yeah, what the fuck?
If you see something, say something, UPS.
They want to help me avoid being a victim of fraud.
Do they mean frogs?
Frogs. Now I'm worried.
That frogs are coming to your house.
Frogs. John and I are here together in the studio because we do ad reads together. It's not a weird thing where one of us is constantly trying to exclude the other.
Nope.
That would be nonsense.
It'd be weird and no one would care even if it was a thing.
What? That would be such a weird bit to do for like a year and a half.
Oh my God, yeah. It'd be like, oh wow, you're not even trying, are you guys?
No, really phoning this in.
Well, the good news is we're not phoning it in today because we are here in the studio to talk to you about a very important product near and dear to my heart. You guys know by now that we only accept endorsement deals from products that we ourselves use.
Yeah.
And so I'm thrilled to tell you that the folks from the marketing agency representing Water reached out to us. And Glenn and I are like, yo, I love that wet stuff.
Yeah. Love that sloppy, damp juice.
Love that sloppy, damp juice. Should have said that to him. I wish you didn't come up with that just now. Maybe they would have given us more money if they knew we had such fire adjectives to describe water.
Yeah.
Because water is the official beverage of the Improvised Wikipedia podcast. We are thrilled to have them on board.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, for this week it is.
Okay.
They gave us $8.
You get us for a week for the $8.
But. Yeah. Reminder, anybody out there that wants to sponsor an episode, just reach out to us. Our rate is $8 an episode. Very affordable. And we will say anything that you want us to within reason.
Yeah, it's because they paid us. You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
For
I mean,
the money.
Read it off that paper.
I like water more than I like Diet Dr. Pepper.
My gosh. We all know that's not true, too, but you're saying it.
You know.
Yeah.
You know you're number one in my heart.
I like water so much that sometimes I rub it all over my body.
Water is great. For drowning your enemies. Put them on a boat and sink it. Take that, enemies.
Need to get someone to tell you state secrets? Pretend like you're drowning them.
Do you... you got some Kool-Aid powder, but you don't want to eat it because it's too sour by itself? Dunk it in some water.
Do you want ice?
And then drown somebody in it.
Do you want ice, but later? Water.
Are you a hose? What even are you without water then, you stupid floppy tube?
That boogie board that's in your closet ain't gonna float on nothing. Water.
What are you, gonna go be a cloud? Do it, water. If you are water, you gotta think the times you get to be in a cloud.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking good.
Pretty fun, man. That free fall to earth then?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Do you want to pee tomorrow?
Do you want to be... What pee mostly is?
Water.
Drip, drip.
Drip it up. Your butt. And we are back, and I have up in front of me the official Wikipedia page for igloos. Glenn, real short opening paragraph.
Real short.
Super short. And honestly, not that long of a page. Not that long of a, like, that's it. Like, it's a quick scroll, and all of the different sections are pretty small. I think we got a punch
real snowy chance. We got a snowball's chance in an igloo of coming out on top, daddy.
An igloo, also known as a snow house or a snow hut, is
I specifically said snow house.
Is a type of shelter built of snow, typically built when the snow is suitable. Well,
you mean when it's not all sloppy and
what the
gushy?
Fuck? What a stupid
fucking
sentence.
Oh, yeah, usually
sentence.
They build it when the snow isn't melted.
Yeah.
You stupid Wikipedia.
Hey, guys, happy 4th of July. Want to go outside and make an igloo? Fucking assholes.
When it's suitable.
Suitable. Although igloos are often associated with all Inuit and Eskimo peoples, they were traditionally used only by the people of Canada's Central Arctic and Greenland's Thule area. I feel like I said Canada and Greenland.
You did. I think you said both those things.
My
also,
goodness.
I don't think we say Eskimo anymore, Wikipedia.
I don't think we do either. Other Inuits tended to use snow to insulate their houses, which were constructed from whale bones and hides. That is pretty fucking baller. Be like, yo, let's go kill that whale, drag it on land, let like carve off all of the insides, and then pitch a tent with the fucking rib cage.
Yeah.
Yo, fucking baller Inuits.
I know we
talked
about being resourceful and like using what's around. Yeah, you're like, God, there's nothing up here. What about that big ass fish? Fuck. All right, go get it.
I mean, yeah. let's get some nets.
Let's go figure this out.
Fuck, that is badass. Snow is used because the air pockets trapped in it make it an insulator.
Said that.
Yep. On the outside, temperatures may be as low as negative 45 Celsius.
You don't know.
Negative 49 Fahrenheit. But on the inside, the temperature can range from negative 7 to 16 degrees Celsius, which is 19 to 61 degrees Fahrenheit.
How many igloos you measure there? What's our source there, Wikipedia?
Well,
big,
hold on. There's
a big
old... don't get too cocky. There's a fucking source.
Let's see what it is. It's
it
just
is.
Guy named
How warm is an
Philip.
Igloo? From spring of 2003. Let's click through here on this. It is from Cornell, and it is very. It's got to be a student paper because there is a fucking clip
there's
art
a clip
picture.
Art igloo of a bad igloo on the cover.
Yeah. So this is this is definitely a student.
What
this is
freshman
a
wrote this dumb nonsense.
And I'm starting to think that much of this page was written by the students that put this together. It does seem to be relatively well researched, and there's
this
math,
paper is longer than the Wikipedia entry.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And it's got graphs
and like screenshots
nerds.
Of some sort of temperature readings.
Nerd ass nerds.
Oh no, I closed the tab. I gotta go back to Wikipedia. Oh, no. Quick stall for me.
Hey, how warm is it inside igloo? Mind your business. That's how warm it is.
How warm is it inside your butt?
Yeah. Oh, how warm is it inside that Cornell student's butt?
Hey, that's the opening paragraph. So. I mean, we fucking...
So suck it, Wikipedia.
Yeah,
we win.
I think we might win. There are some other things...
Because we didn't say anything dumb like, oh, yeah, you just build a big old... You don't build it with sloppy, gushy snow. Got to get that good stuff. Although right. I think we did say, like, when it's at the right consistency, you, like, chop a block of it.
Probably. You know. All right, but here we go. We got a little bit more to read through before we get to the C also here. There's a section on nomenclature. The Inuit language word igloo... plural igluit can be used for a house or a home built of any material. It's not restricted exclusively to snow houses, which are specifically called igluvjak and igluvjate. Oh boy, sorry.
That 100% just sounds like cold genitals.
Really, just want to send sincere apologies to our Inuit listeners that I'm not doing so hot reading that, but the term can also include traditional tents or sod houses or homes constructed of driftwood or even modern buildings.
So does it just mean building?
Basically. Shelter, right. Maybe. Shelter might be the better way to kind of translate it. Several dialects throughout the Canadian Arctic use igloo for all buildings, including snow houses, and it is the term used by the government of Nunavut. An exception to this is the dialect used in the Igloolik region, which is specifically used only for a snow house. Outside of Inuit culture, however, igloo refers exclusively to shelters constructed from blocks of compacted snow, generally in the form of a dome. There are three types of traditional igloos, all of different sizes and all used for different purposes. The smallest are constructed as temporary shelters, usually only designed for one or two nights, so they're much easier to build. But on rare occasions, these are built and used during hunting trips, specifically on open sea ice. The intermediate-sized igloos were semi-permanent family dwellings. It's usually a single-room dwelling that housed one or two families, and often there were several of them in a small area which would form an Inuit village. The largest igloos were normally built in groups of two. One of the buildings was a temporary structure built for special occasions, the other built nearby for living. They may have had up to five rooms and housed up to 20 people. A large igloo might have been constructed from several smaller igloos attached by tunnels, giving common access to the outside.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, almost as if we just said it like 10 minutes ago.
And nailed it. There's that, and that image that's like down at the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's exactly how I described building an igloo.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, you can go ahead and go to this page and
there's a platform. Yeah, there's a long skinny tube mm-hmm. that goes down to keep the warm air inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, student handbook from Scholastic in 1989.
So the only thing that we didn't do in here, realistically, when I look at this page, is...
math. We didn't do any math.
And the math is sort of... it almost doesn't necessarily belong on this page. It belongs on a different page because it's, you know, the walls are of uniform thickness and density. Maximum compressive stress at the base of a paraboloid is... then there's a crazy formula. So basically, it's sort of... belongs on a different page that like you could reference, but it feels like they're very much padding that in here to fill out this page.
Like, we need to get some more hot deets. I know that feeling. Sometimes we don't have the deets, Wikipedia. We sometimes we're really grasping at straws too. I get it, but get out of here with this garbage page. We win this one.
So there's a see also section that I want to point out to you, mostly because I'm right and you're a little on the wrong side of history here. We still win as a team though. So see also Glacier Cave, which is a natural hollow space within a glacier. Quincy, which is a shelter made by hollowing out a pile of settled snow. Snow Cave, which is a shelter constructed in snow. Snow Fort is a open-topped temporary structure made for recreational purposes.
Yeah, it's for like snowball fights and stuff.
Yeah. So Snow Cave, definitely not an igloo. Different thing.
Okay, well, eat my shorts.
You're wearing long pants, and I would be happy to.
Chomp, chomp.
Chomp, chomp, baby. I'm going to call it a win.
Yeah,
I think we did as good, if not slightly better. We did not pad our page with quasi-relevant math.
Sloppy snow anywhere.
Yeah, this page doesn't offer any potential improvements like the inclusion of a revolving door. We are trying to advance the form.
Yeah. We're really elevating the igloo.
Yeah, and because it's our podcast, we get to decide that we won. And yes. I'm deciding we won. We're tied back up, Glenn.
Yeah!
22 apiece. It feels boom, good. Boom. Boom, boom, motherfuckers. We're going to take this home at the end when we're done with every page on Wikipedia. We're going to have bested it, and then therefore we'll receive all of Wikipedia as
give
our
me
prize.
Wikipedia.
So, closing statements here. If you had to change a fact on here as a joke or add a fake fact as a joke, what would you do?
That there's a special kind of igloo for fucking.
Ooh, that's good. I was going to posit, I was like, there's a special kind of outhouse igloo.
Oh,
which should be fun too.
Good, right. I feel like there should be.
There should be, but I think traditionally what they do is just buckets.
Just duke it and then throw it outside.
Probably let it freeze and then.
Because you don't want to go outside.
No, your bits would freeze and fall off.
Yeah,
you don't want frostbite on your bits.
Well, I hope that one's not fake. I hope that one is real.
I hope so too.
I hope they have outhouse igloos for dumping.
Dump it up.